God's Word with you, and I invite you to do so right now. And you can look on the screen, or if you've got a copy of the Scriptures there in front of you, you can look at that yourself. So we're going to read from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 16 as we get started, and then we're going to unpack this today, particularly verse 15. And one particular phrase in verse 15. We're really going down to the specifics of that phrase heavily today. But let's hear the scripture and receive this as the word of the Lord, this text, Ephesians 4, beginning at verse 11. And he, that is Christ, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Okay, what do babies, boats tossed by the waves, and bad doctrine have in common? Babies, boats, and bad doctrine. You may say, Pastor Bruce, I have no idea. And I say to you, Ephesians 4, verse 14. This verse, Ephesians 4, verse 14, pictures believers in a church. And here, It's a picture of what the church ought not to be, an unhealthy church. It's a church characterized by spiritual immaturity, by doctrinal and life instability, and by profound vulnerability to be duped by every passing trend or fad, to be pulled away by every theological error. That kind of a church is contrasted with what happens in verse 15. That verse is part of today's text, so we're going to drill down into verse 15 today, where we see that honesty, biblical honesty, is one of the keys to a healthy church, and it's the answer to all of those maladies: immaturity, instability, and doctrinal chaos. The answer is speaking the truth in love. Let's look at Ephesians 4, verse 14 here, just to see this text is showing us that gospel-based honesty in the church community counters all of the three things I mentioned. So that we may no longer be children, spiritual infants, immature, tossed to and fro by the waves. That's instability. And every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by the craftiness and deceitful schemes. The solution. What's the solution? What's the contrast? It is growing in maturity, stability, and spiritual discernment by speaking the truth in love. Rather, verse 15. And this thing, JP, for some reason, just keeps wanting to come off. I'm not sure why. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head. If you look at the Greek, the force of speaking the truth in love is not like on an occasion here or there. It is continually doing so. Speaking the truth in love, continually doing so, is what healthy church community looks like. It's what healthy biblical relationships look like. And that's what we're going to be considering today, just that phrase and all of its impact and import for us as believers. I hope you're ready to receive that. I just want us to think about truth in love. You got an idea? Help me, Eric. Technical difficulties.
I don't think I'm going to get
you. It's not going to help. There you go. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Everybody knows it's the love chapter, right? Even in the love chapter, this idea of truth in love comes in to view. Gospel ministry is growing in truth in love. It's not truth without love, and it's not love without truth. And many today would want to sort of camp out on one of those two. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 6, it says that love does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. And these coupling of love and truth, we can see in 1 Peter 1:22, 1 John 3:18, 2 John 1:3, and many other passages as well. This speaking the truth in love, I would say, is perhaps another way to define what true honesty is, biblical honesty. We're considering unseen springs for uncommon honesty. And some may say, hey, I'm just being honest and just blast you with truth without love. And I would submit, that's not biblical honesty. Some would say, because I'm being loving and not wanting to make anybody feel bad, I'm not going to say the truth. When I would say, well, that isn't true biblical honesty. So we've been talking about honesty, and in this series we've looked at a lot of different elements. You can listen to the messages online. We've talked about forgiveness in Jesus, of course, is so key. Bible meditation is a part of developing and growing in it. The wisdom that comes from the fear of God in the book of Proverbs, the renewal and working of the Holy Spirit, the importance of a disciplined life of prayer. You're not going to grow in honesty by being lazy and not praying. It just isn't going to happen. And the Spirit-empowered gospel community, Acts chapter 5, we consider that, and Ananias and Sapphira. And, of course, the need for heart cleansing and the humility that flows from heart cleansing that Jesus produces in us. It's not by pridefully thinking I've got it all together. It's knowing my need for His grace that I grow in biblical honesty. Now, just to recap a little bit of last week, if our hearts are not clean, we're not going to have biblical honesty. We need the cleansing that comes from the gospel, forgiveness, and also heart transformation doesn't flow from being fake and pretending like I've got it all together. It's like, hey, I'm good, I'm fine, everything's fine, I'm really mature and really honest. That is not going to grow us in biblical honesty. We're going to grow in biblical honesty where we're humbly admitting we still need Jesus. Having cleansed their hearts by faith, Acts chapter 15, verse 9, is a great summary of how the gospel cleanses us, but also the gospel helps us to grow in that heart humility. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9, classic verse. I encourage you to memorize it if you don't know it. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one may boast. And so Ephesians is written to a group of folks who had experienced the gospel in believing in a personal response of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They had that ground-level foundation. And furthermore, Ephesians is written about the church. Ephesians is about how Jesus builds the church. He brings us together in the church. He died to reconcile us to Himself in one body. That's the church, Ephesians 2:16. He's now working, constantly working in and through this community of believers that you're a part of when you're in the church, building us together to be a dwelling place for God by the Spirit, Ephesians 2 as well. One of those I got the wrong number. I believe the 16 is correct. I think the other one is 22. I apologize for that. So sometimes people say, hey, I'm going to go off in the wilderness all by myself and going to grow in honesty. And I say, well, that's a bad plan. Because Jesus puts us in the church to grow in honesty. And as we grow in honesty, we help others to grow in honesty. And we're being built together in honesty by Jesus, who's building his church and brings us together in the church. And it's not about being all around all kinds of people who look exactly like me and think exactly like me and have the exact same background as me. That's not the plan. Jesus' plan is to bring together people from a lot of different backgrounds and put on display his power by bringing them together, and they relate honestly in the church. And that's what we're going to consider today. Biblical honesty speaks the truth in love. Biblical honesty speaks the truth in love. Now, some people are wired in a direction that they kind of like speaking the truth. They're gonna tell you pretty much what they think. And everybody kind of what they think, maybe in the extreme, right? But maybe they're not so big on the love thing. Sort of forget that one, right? Some people, on the other hand, are like, hey, I'm really into people. I care a lot about people. So I want to love people. So I'm not going to tell anybody the truth, right? And neither of those, of course, is correct. But both the truth and love are important. So kind of just classic kind of awkward situation. Somebody has an item of clothing on. Just say it's a family member or a close friend. They have an item of clothing on. It's say if a dude, it's a shirt. If it's a lady, it's a dress. It's for the purpose of the example. And you're like, man, that doesn't look good on them at all. In your head, you're like, that just is not at all flattering. I just don't like it. It's not stylish. Doesn't bring out their best. So then they ask you, so do you like my dress? Do you like my shirt? Right? Now the truth person might say, no way, it's ugly. Okay, probably not the best in the love zone, right? The loving person might kind of say, oh, yes, lie through my teeth. I really like it. Now, so, and I'm, this is not about dresses and shirts, of course. This is about life and relationships and how we deal with difficult situations and how we interact with people who may even sometimes have different perspectives than we are. But I think in that context, when you say it is not neither just blasting them with my version of truth, however accurate that may be, nor is it kind of tiptoeing around and not saying things that are true and actually kind of lying to people to make them feel better. Neither of those is biblical. It is speaking the truth in love. That's what we're gonna drill down in today. That is what the Bible points us to in life, in ministry, in relationships. Truth is the message. Love is the approach. And edification is the goal. We're going to see how truth in love is edifying to individuals and the body and the ministry. We're going to look at honesty in the church community and the responsibility of each believer to do their part to grow in healthy relationships and ministry rooted in Christ. This is not your passive, I consume church ministries and take in things as a consumer kind of thing. This is active in relationships, in community, under Christ. And the Bible points individual believers to this responsibility for living that out. We're going to unpack this phrase, speaking the truth in love. I would submit to you, it sums up church. That's it. Healthy church is speaking the truth in love. Healthy ministry, speaking the truth in love. Healthy relationships, speaking the truth in love. It's not truth without love, it's not love without truth. And of course, true truth embraces love. And true love always is aligned with truth. So I'm not pitting truth and love against each other. I'm just saying truth in love, speaking the truth in love, is what true honesty is. It's what fosters true community, maturity, stability. and everything that Jesus wants to do in and through us personally and in community. This then is the charge. Let's look first at truth. Truth has to be the message. There is no growth in healthy community, no real honesty, if we don't have truth. But there is growth. We're fostering what is healthy when we hold to the truth, and first and foremost, the truth of the doctrine of Jesus Christ, the truth of God's word. You can't throw this out and have true biblical honesty. We hold on to it, affirm it, and of course, Paul is pointing to that. Furthermore, likewise, it's not just that we have great, accurate doctrinal statements and we preach excellent, theologically accurate sermons, and our kids in youth ministry and children's ministry hear things that are all biblically true, and in small groups, we all sit around and affirm everything that's biblically true. That's good, but what Paul is talking about is more than that. It is because we are growing in community, and we're being honest with one another about the stuff of life and relationships and interaction and the reality. And that hurt me, or I don't agree with that, or here we have to make a decision where you think that and I think that. Now what do we do? Truth is guiding that. And the message then that we're always going after is not what I think or you think or I feel or you feel. We are going after what is truth, the reality in that situation, context, relationship, or action. So let's look first at the phrase. The phrase that encapsulates honesty is rather speaking the truth in love. Literally, in the Greek, it is truthing it. It's just this big verb of just truth. It is about the truth, lived and shared in truth, spoken with the truth in pursuit of truth. It is truthing it in love. And of course, for those that maybe, I don't like that whole truth thing, I submit to you Proverbs 27, verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. There's something about the truth that at first it might sting a little bit, but boy, is it good for you. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. So truth is so important. And look in the context, of course, biblical truth. Ephesians 4, verse 11, the truth presenters. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. Jesus gave these to the church. Not to say, hey, I'm gonna tell you what I feel, and you can tell me what you feel. No, this is the truth. It's the truth of Jesus and the gospel. Ephesians 4, 21. That's the core essence of what they were given, the truth that is taught in Jesus. And this truth then shapes believers. It shapes the body to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. Ephesians 4, verse 12. Now, a lot of times when we're studying this text, we're talking about gifting, we're talking about ministry. I'm looking in today just at relationships. Every context, every relationships, speaking the truth in love. Truth is a part of that equation. And it's the truth of gospel ministry, the truth of Jesus, the truth of the Word of God, first and foremost, Paul has in mind. Of course, the Pharisees didn't have the truth. We talked about this last week. They were devoid of the truth. They were dishonest too, but they didn't have the truth because they rejected Christ and their need for the gospel. And that's why Jesus called them hypocrites. But I want us to also see the relational context here. It's not just affirming things that are biblical. Note the relational context. As Paul's moving through Ephesians, he's not just saying, hey, it's good, Jesus died, he made us one, now let's go on and do ministry. He's saying the way that we relate to one another is so important to live out what Jesus has already accomplished. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's the relational context of the church, and we interact with one another in a way that is aligned with the truth. Now, how do I know that? Let's flip over to Ephesians 4, verse 25, or flip on the screen. and see how this truth is not just affirming things that are doctrinally true, it's affirming everything that is true in relationships. It's not lying. It's not half-truth. It's not exaggerations. It's not misleading others. It's not refusing to address issues. It's not using flattery to make people feel better and make ourselves look better. That's not the truth. So, therefore, having put away falsehood, Ephesians 4, verse 25, notice how this is the truth in the context of the relationship, the issues that are at hand. Let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. And this neighbor here is leaning heavily toward the church brother or sister, because it says, for we are members of one another. That's the body, our relationships in the body. I want to make a statement right now. For some of you that are confusing being nice with being biblically honest or loving, you need to hear this. It is not biblically healthy, nor does it foster biblical growth, if you cannot state the truth of your ideas or your feelings. That's something other than biblical health. You say, I got all these things, and I can't tell anybody. And in some kind of context or relationship, I don't speak the truth. That's not biblically healthy. You speak the truth. By speaking the truth, you grow up into him who is the head, into Christ. Let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members in one body. The truth is the message. Truth is essential for biblical honesty. Love is the approach. Love is the approach. And oftentimes people confuse honesty, their version of it, with being honest. Yeah, I'm just being honest. Well, maybe you need to think about, I'm being honest in love. Maybe there's some things that would temper the way you say it because you're embracing speaking the truth in love. So being harsh and categorizing people in ways that is disrespectful to them is clearly not biblical. It's not speaking the truth in love. Love without God's truth misses the mark as well. But truth without love does so too. That is, truth that we deliver without Christ-like love. Now, we know there's many examples of people in the name of love saying, you can't tell me the truth. And of course, that's a misrepresentation of what true love is. But speaking the truth in love means some of the aspects of it, I respect the person or the persons, that they are people created in the image of God. However much I disagree with them, however much their position is horribly wrong biblically, there is a respect, a fundamental respect for that person that I have, which love calls me to have, and speaking the truth in love includes. I proactively seek the good of that person. So it's not just passively not harming them, attacking them and calling them names or whatever. I'm proactively seeking and hoping for their good, praying for their good, looking, how can the spiritual good of this person be advanced in this situation or encounter in my conversation with this? And I think because we are all fallen people with limited perspectives and capacities, there's vast cultures and peoples, their position, we just frankly don't understand unless we listen. So love listens. Love says, I may need to hear something from you, a perspective that you have, a place you're coming from, so I can best communicate with you. I'm open to that I have biases and faults. As I honor Christ, I'm seeking to discern and understand those things. And that's not to say that I'm going to agree with everything. Certainly nothing that's contrary to the truth, but I approach it with this sense of humility, which love characterizes and relate to that person or that situation, not with giving them a piece of my mind or every emotion I feel and just dumping it down like, there it is, I got you the truth. No, I'm restrained in that communication to present the truth in a respectful way and acknowledging my own need for God's grace as I grow and honor Christ. Brothers and sisters, this ain't easy. This ain't easy. But this is the call of this passage. This is what true honesty is. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is ahead. That's what Jesus wants us to do. We are to do. That is how Jesus grows us. That's how we don't end up with the babies, boats tossed by the waves, and people that fall prey to every whim and trend, because we're about the truth and we express that in love. Now note, in love is the way we do it and how we do it to the best of our ability. That doesn't make an idol of other people's feelings or ideas. And some people are like, oh, you just made me feel bad. That's not loving. No, it may be that you disagree and you feel bad because of the truth, no matter how much I try to present it in love with respect and compassion, right? So there's kind of this false notion today that everything people feel, we ought to accommodate, and that, of course, isn't truthful. That isn't actually even loving. It's the truth in love that is true honesty. I want us to look back at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3 once again. And just how this love approach in our words, this love approach in our interaction, it requires the gospel. It requires that we be, yes, forgiven in Jesus, but then the work of Jesus continuing us by the work of the Holy Spirit with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. Humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Jesus has accomplished the unity. We don't make the unity, we keep the unity. We keep the unity by speaking the truth in love, by this attitude and goal of love accompanying our communications around the truth. Did Jesus ever offend people? Yes, he absolutely did. In fact, the text we looked at last week, the disciples said, don't you know the Pharisees were offended when you said this? And his words were a deep religious offense to the Pharisees. So when someone is offended, it doesn't necessarily mean you're being unloving. But I would caution, don't let the offense be you and your method. The offense, if there is one, when we present truth with wisdom and winsomeness, the offense should be the truth of God and the gospel, not us and our poor manner and approach. And all we need God's wisdom and grace to speak the truth in love. Not the truth without love, and not love or some human version of it without the truth. So let's move on to edification is the goal. You say, Pastor Bruce, I thought this was about just speaking the truth in love. It's like, yes, it is. But do you notice that this speaking the truth in love comes in the context of edification? And Paul is piling on all kinds of metaphors, the metaphor of growth, the metaphor of stability, the metaphor of health. He's got all these metaphors. I'm just going to zero in on one, which is edification. And edification, essentially, that something is being built up. Imagine you live in a house, and it's way too small. Like, you got all these family members, and like it's totally inadequate. And things are not even up to snuff to work correctly. What does that house need? It needs to be built up. This is a architectural building metaphor here embedded in the text. That house needs to be built up. The church needs to be built up. Without Christ, his grace is working, we're not representing the health that he wants, the room space that he wants, the operational plumbing and heating and water that he wants. We need to be built up. Now, how do we get built up? We get built up by speaking the truth in love. We get built up by honesty, biblically rooted honesty. And so as we speak the truth in love, Jesus builds us up. He edifies us as a church. And, of course, there are many other benefits of speaking the truth in love and what Jesus builds into us and all those images I referred to. But we're just zeroing in on this one. Believers should then seek to foster this process of building up. How? By speaking the truth in love. This building up then is for other people. So this is, again, not just that on paper we say, yeah, we're here to build up. When you're in a small group, what are you doing? Building people up. When you're on the phone call with people at church, what are you seeking to do? Build people up. When you're dealing in context with ministry and you're in groups or whatever, what are you trying to do? Build people up. When you're with children and youth, what are you trying to do? Build them up. And not only are you trying to build up other people as Christ is building his body, you're trying to build up the body. Everything is put through the filter of, the goal of, does this build up the church? Is it biblically grounded building up of the church? And we got to ask ourselves this question in everything we do as a church and all of our interactions as a church. And this is then fleshing out this speaking the truth in love. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, comes in the context of Christ building up. Building up is what Christ does through the truth. Building up is the result of us speaking the truth in love. Verse 12, verse 14. Can we just kind of flow through that and take a look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. There it is. Jesus gave these leaders, others, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Saints is believers, individual believers, their part. For what purpose? For building up the body of Christ. And why does he do this? So that, next slide, please. Until we all attain the unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God. So we're moving to maturity in Christ, the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. Now verse 14, so that we no longer be children. Now, we're not spiritually immature. We're not blown here and there by waves. We're not duped by every doctrinal trend that comes along. Why? Because we're grounded in the truth. We're speaking the truth. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we grow up in every way into him who's ahead, into Christ. Next slide. From whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with it, which it is equipped, when each part is working properly. That's everybody doing their part. It's not just the staff. It's not just the elders. It's you. Everybody doing their part. Jesus then builds the church up. He makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Building up, verse 12, building up, verse 16, in the context of speaking the truth in love. And then it jumped out at me at Ephesians 4, verse 29. And just a little background, Ephesians 4, verse 29. When our kids were growing up, if something came out of their mouth that should not come out of their mouth, I would give them Ephesians 4, 29. I remember one kid in particular, I don't know how many times it was 15, 20, maybe more, write Ephesians 4, 29. People say, well, is there any place in the Bible that says I shouldn't just say whatever I think and just kind of go along with the talk? That Ephesians 4, 29, nothing should come out of your mouth except that which builds up. Nothing. That's the way believers live. And of course, that puts a squelch on a lot of gossip and all that, in addition to speech that is dishonoring to other people or dishonoring to God. So, but let's drill down on this in the positive side. So I'm in a relationship, I'm in interaction, I'm dealing with a person, I'm dealing with a situation. What do I say? Man, I want it to be truthful, but I also want it to be loving. And I don't want to just kind of like make them feel good because I want to give them the truth, but I don't want to just barrel them over and like, oh man, it's like, that wasn't the best way to do it. And I would say to you, Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up. That's it. Your goal is that they would be spiritually built up. Not built up in themselves and their own ideas, or you and making you feel better. Built up in the God-defined terms, what Jesus is seeking to do. And that's, and as you're interacting, that's your goal for the church too, for that person, and if they're a believer, for their part in the church, that the church is built up. So everything you say, you're seeking to build up. And notice, as fits the occasion. That means sometimes you don't say what you want to say because it's not the right occasion. There's sometimes you have to say it because it is the occasion. What's the occasion? And that it may give grace to those who hear, right? Not grace that enables sin, but grace that lifts them from it. Grace, God's grace, imparting that which points them to the Lord and helps them embrace and grow in the Lord. So you're not coddling people on a pathway of their error. You're giving them grace that builds up. You're not blasting them. Only idiots believe that, or whatever. Like, no, grace that builds up. This is Ephesians 4:29. This is edification. So what's my goal? Building up. When do I speak? When it builds up. Why do I speak? So you're built up. What do I not say, or at least not say right now? If it's not building up. Why do I say what I say? For building up. This is speaking the truth in love. Yeah, and sometimes it's hard. People don't want to hear the truth. But it won't build them up if you don't. Sometimes you gotta say, I don't know. I was wrong. Please forgive me. That's what speaking the truth in love looks like. Sometimes you gotta listen. Say, hey, can you explain more? What do you mean by that? Where are you coming from? I don't know. But I know here the Bible says this. And I stand on that. This is what God does. This is biblical honesty. May the Lord help us in this. I want to ask, just bring it to response. If you've not yet received the gospel of Jesus, to be rescued by his grace and become part of his honesty family, it's another way to maybe say what church is. We're the honesty family, speaking the truth in love. I encourage you to take that step today. It's by grace we're saved through faith. It's that personal response of acknowledging our need for his forgiveness and trusting Jesus who died in our place. And then if you have, I want to encourage everybody here to take one idea, one thing today that you can say, okay, I need to do that. I need to apply that. I need to embrace that for speaking the truth in love. Can you just take a minute of all the things that were said? Every scripture, every idea, what's one for you? Please hold that. Let's go to the Lord with that as we close in prayer. Lord God, help each of us with whatever this thing is for speaking the truth in love in a way that builds up, not telling people what they wish to hear or what makes us look better when we say it, Lord, but that which advances your work and brings your guiding Holy Spirit work to our lives, our community, Lord. May we speak the truth. May we speak the truth in love for your honor and glory. In all of the applications, Lord, we ask for your wisdom. In each and every one of these things we've noted, Lord, we ask for your grace and strength. In Jesus' name, amen.